Mark chapter 5 and reading verses 1 through 20. I know it's a lengthy passage, but this is the scripture that we're given about this man's life. And so as we read that, it's not too much. It's what God intended us to see about this man and Jesus' interaction with him. And they came over unto the sea to the other side of the sea, that is the Sea of Galilee, and into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, that is when Jesus, and followed by his disciples, left the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" That is, Jesus asked the man, and the man responded by saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Interesting to note that the reaction of this man at this point in time is always shown to us in light of the effect of these demonic spirits that were within his body. And he, that is this man, with those spirits speaking through him, besought Jesus that much, they besought him much, that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out, that is this area where the word was spread, they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it, that is, saw what happened with the swine, told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And this next statement is an interesting statement. And they began to pray him, that is Jesus, to depart out of their coasts. When he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. That is, that he might go with Jesus, that he might follow Jesus. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said to him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed. This man that had been so changed by Jesus, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of these verses. If you will, bow with me just a moment. Father, thank You for the truth of Your Word. We read these things that seem to be so far removed from us by time, by culture, and by history. And by feeling that way about them so often, they seem to have little impact in our lives. Father, I pray that as we look at these tonight, we would do so in light of the statement of Your Scripture that says that You are the Lord and You change not, and that Your compassion and Your power and Your compassionate work in the lives of Your people is just as dramatic today as in the life of this man. Help us to see the great truths that are in it. Help me, Father, to be able to speak it clearly. And help us, O Lord, to be like this man, that we would go and talk about how great things the Lord has done for us. Help us in Jesus' name, I pray. And amen. Jesus and His disciples had crossed over the Sea of Galilee. During the night, they had gone over at a time when there was a great storm, and Jesus had calmed the water and caused those people that had already watched Him, you know, they'd seen Him heal people, they'd seen Him turn water into wine, they'd seen Him do great miracles, and yet watching those three simple words and the effect that the Word of Jesus spoken had upon the power of creation, it put them in awe all again. What manner of man is this? But you see, Jesus was moving from... One of the marvels of this passage is that Jesus is moving from home territory. He had been around the city of Capernaum. He was raised in the city of Nazareth. He had been in home territory and was now going across the Sea of Galilee into an area that was not under the law, was not Jewish, was not common understanding of the Word of God. Jesus comes across and Jesus enters this coastline, and He comes out of the ship, and immediately there approaches Him a man whom we would define mildly as a wild man. But what I want you to see is that it's not just a wild man. It was a man who was under total bondage and dominion of sin in his life, of wickedness in his life, of demonic work in his life. We, in our culture and our sophistication, we doubt sometimes what that means. But I'm going to tell you that Satan has demon spirits that are at work in this world. They are real. If it wasn't, Jesus' power over them would mean nothing, and it would mean that Jesus' interaction with them is made up. They were real. And they're no less, Satan is no less powerful in this world, and I'll put it that way, we'll see why in a minute. But there's no less effect of the wickedness of Satan in this world today as there was then. This man came out to Jesus, and it's interesting that as he came out, he was driven in his actions and in his words by the spirits that spoke within him. Now I want you to see the destructive power of those spirits, or of the wickedness of sin in the life of an individual. Here was a man who had, he lived literally in the caves along the seacoast. And we're told that men had tried to chain him, but he simply pulled the chains apart. He spent days and nights cutting himself and crying among the tombs. This effect in his life had separated him. You see, sin is very destructive in our lives as well. Sin separates us from God. Jeremiah said in his writings to the people of Israel, he said, your iniquities have separated you from your God. God was their God by covenant in Abraham. And yet the choices that they made, the effects of their sin, had separated them from the knowledge and the fellowship and the worship of God. Sin is destructive. These demons were the moving power in this man's life. Jesus asked the man what his name was. And the response was that his name was Legion. But it's interesting to note that the pronouns that were used, there's no word used by accident in the Word of God. But the response was Legion, for we are many. Now what I want you to see is that this man who approached Jesus came to worship Him. You'll notice verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped Him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with Thee, Jesus, Thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure Thee by God that Thou torment me not. Now, I don't want you to do anything to me. Leave me alone. But the reason for that was not just this man. It was the demonic spirits that were within him. For he said unto him, Jesus said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. He responded to Jesus because of the command that Jesus had given. Jesus knew exactly what was going on. Isn't it some comfort to us in our life that when we have problems, even when there's sin in our life, Jesus already knows what's going on. He knows the effect. He knows the binding of it. He knows the bondage of it. But you see, folks, this man, as he walked, presents to us a picture of ourself in our nature of sin. We may not be a wild man running around in the caves, living a life of nakedness and severity and frightfulness. We may not have that severe a situation. But what I want you to notice is, in this sin, here was a man who, A, could not change himself, and B, could not be changed by any other man. You see, our sin, the nature of our sin, the bondage of our sin, in which we, by Adam's nature in our life, is a binding unto ourselves. I can't change my sinful nature. And you know what? You can't change my sinful nature from the outside. Here were men that had tried to control his behavior. They had tried to restrict his behavior. They had tried to limit his behavior. He simply broke their attempts. But you'll notice that he couldn't change himself either, no matter how destructive it was, because this was the work of Satan within him. What I want you to see, folks, is that's the picture of the nature of sin that we have within our own lives. I can't change myself. You can't change that nature within you. But as a matter of fact, the prophet asked the question, can a leopard change his spots? Can an Ethiopian change his skin? Then how can you, who know how to do evil, do good. How can you change what you are? We can't. You see, folks, the message of this is not just the dramatic events of the effect of sin in this man's life or the demonic spirits in this man's life. It's not just the dramatic events that followed with them coming out and going into the swine and the whole 2,000 pigs running down the hill and drowning themselves. I suspect if I were one of those that had been charged by the community to take care of everybody's livestock, I'd get kind of scared. They did. But what it took was the command of Jesus Christ. Come out of him. You see, folks, we can't redeem ourselves. We can't cover ourselves. Go with me over into the book of Psalms for just a moment. I want you to notice two passages in Psalm 49, two verses. Look in Psalm 49, look in verse 7. Verse 6 talks about those that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, in their ability to do things. None of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. There is no one who is able to redeem his brother. He can't redeem himself either. But if you'll notice verse 15, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Man can't redeem himself. Man can't ransom his brother. Man can't change the effect of sin in each other. There is one Redeemer. There is a Redeemer. Jesus, God's own Son. Isn't that how those demonic spirits recognized him? What do we have to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? They knew who he was. James, I think it is, that writes, he said, do you believe? He said, do you do well? The demons or the devils believe and tremble. Why? Because with all of the prince of the power of the air, with all of the power of Satan in this world, and he is a formidable adversary. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Think of a roaring lion, the king of the beasts. Destructive, damaging. That's Satan's influence of sin in our life. Yet, John said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You see, Jesus came into this world to break the power. We sing one of our hymns has the line in it. It says, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He died to set us free from it. It is finished. It is paid in full. But not only did he pay the price of ransom, the price of redemption, he broke the power of it. Just like his compassion, just like his mercy set that man free from the bondage of sin, Jesus sets us free. I want you to notice one other thing about Jesus' interaction with those demons. With all of the demonic power that seems to be rampant in our world and was in this man and sin's effect in our life, Satan could do nothing beyond which Jesus gave him leave to do. You see, Satan is not the all-powerful. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. But if you go over into John chapter 12, and you can read beginning about verse 20, and you read down through 27, and read down through verse 32, Jesus said, for this cause came I into this hour. You see, Jesus came into this world to face the power of Satan. And Jesus judged Satan. Now is the prince of this world cast out, he said. I want you to see that the cross at Calvary bore our judgment. But the judgment was upon Satan and the power of sin in our life. Stop to think just a minute. It struck me in thinking about that judgment. How is the prince of this world judged? You look back at his interaction. Well, you can look at what he did with Adam and Eve. He lied. He led them into something. He presented them with an opportunity to do something that God had said they weren't supposed to do. But all through, in that time, God said to Adam that there would be a seed of the woman that would bruise the serpent's head. There was already a plan in place, even then, that the power of the prince of this world, of Satan, would be overcome by the Prince of Peace. And following that, throughout all of the history of God's dealings with Israel in the Old Testament, Satan, time after time after time, would unfold a plan to try to destroy the people of Israel. Why? Was he just a hater of Jewish people? No, he was trying to stop the fulfillment of the one thing that God had said was going to happen through that line of David, that the one who would bruise or crush his head would come. When Jesus came into the world, Herod tried to kill him as a baby. There were those that tried to trap him and to bring him down the entirety of his life. They weren't... I've heard people say, oh, Satan was gleeful when he was hanging on the cross. I'm going to tell you, I don't think he was. I think he knew when that moment had come that he was defeated. Why? Because he knew what the Scriptures said. He knew what God's promise was. The outward appearance of all of the Pharisees and all of the Romans and everybody else thought they'd won the battle. Satan knew. But he had one more chance. And that was to keep him from coming out of the grave. And guess what? He did. He couldn't. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, it was not possible that he should be holden of death. And he overcame the power of sin. He ransomed or redeemed my soul. What I could not do for myself. His Spirit quickens me from death to life when I could not change myself. His Spirit set me free. Listen to what we're told. And just a couple of very quick scriptures. Look in the book of Ephesians for just a moment. And look in Ephesians chapter 2. And notice verse 2. Well, I'll read verses 1 and 2 because they're joined by semicolons. They're part of the same sentence. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You walk after him. That's where this man was. Correct? He was bound under the power of sin and could do nothing to break that power. We all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, Jesus could have looked at that man and said, "Get away from me. You unclean person, you dirty, immoral, offensive individual." But how did Jesus look at it? He knew the problem. And you see, later on, He told that man. He didn't just say, go home and tell him what he did. Go tell him how he had compassion on you. You see, we were in that boat. And yet the mercy of God through Jesus Christ and the compassion of His interaction in our life sets us free. When those pigs ran down the hill, the keepers went into town, went to spreading that word around. The owners of those pigs, the people around, came out. And when they got there, there's that verse in verse 16. Or verse 15, I'm sorry. And they come to Jesus and see Him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. This is the same guy. He had all of that bondage. But they saw Him sitting. Remember, they couldn't anybody tie Him down before. They saw Him sitting and He was clothed. Where'd the clothes come from? You ever thought about that? He didn't have any. Jesus provided. And ultimately, folks, remember, He provides the covering of His own righteousness that covers our sin. We can't provide it for ourselves, but He covers it. Sitting, clothed, and in His right mind. That change was made that brought that man to peace, to comfort, and to liberty by the power of the Word of Jesus. The demons, Jesus called them out of him. But isn't it interesting that they said, don't send us off. Don't send us away. They had all this power to control this man, but they had no power over Jesus. Let us go in the pigs. Let us go there. Let us. You understand? They couldn't just take off and go. Job, if you go over into the book of Job in the first chapter, two different times, we're told in the experience of Job that Satan came before God. And God asked him a question. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" "Yeah, I have. You've shielded him and sheltered him, so you let me get a hold of him. You've hedged him about. No wonder he follows you. You let me get a hold of what he's got." God said, "Okay, but you can't touch him. You can affect everything that he has, but you can't put your hand on him." Satan took his children, Satan took his camels, Satan took his horses, Satan took his livestock, Satan destroyed all that he had, and all of a sudden this man, who was one of the wealthiest men in the whole area, was bankrupt, destitute. "Why don't you just curse God and die? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." A few verses later, Satan's back before God again. And God said, "Have you considered Job?" "Yeah, but let me get a hold of his skin. Man will do all sorts of things just to protect his skin." Of course, I'm paraphrasing. But God said, "Okay, but you can't take his life." You see, every step, God, for his own glory, and for Job's faith, allowed things to happen. But even Satan in those moments was bound and drawn by the boundaries that God put upon him, and he could not in any way pass those boundaries. You see, folks, Satan is a powerful force in our world. But our one hope is that he can't go where God won't allow him to go. And if God allows him to go in our lives, God will take care of our lives through the boundaries that he places, through the limits that he draws. That's hard for us to wrap our head around. It's not logical, but it's biblical. And I don't know about you, but I'll stand on the Bible. You see, God drew the boundaries on the prince of this world. But I said that God gave this man a job to do. And it was a rather perplexing job. You see, if you look at in verse 19, Jesus was about to... These people wanted to get out of our land. Just go away. We don't understand what you did. Don't know how you did it. But it's obvious that your power is bigger than our powers. We don't want you around here. Leave. You would think that the man who had the power to break all the bondage of sin and demons that they couldn't control, that they'd want him to stay around. No, leave. The world has no appreciation for the name of Jesus Christ or the plan of God in redemption. Go away. And guess what? Jesus did. Jesus had control of the sea. Jesus had control of the demons. He could have done whatever. But they said, go away. Do we push Jesus away sometimes? We can't push him away for eternity. That's not within our power. But when we don't follow him, sometimes he says, okay, go ahead. He got back on the boat. This man wanted to go with him. And listen to what he said. Go home to thy friends. Isn't that interesting? Here was a man who had been separated from everybody for who knows how long. What friends did he have? Go home to thy friends. Who might that be? And tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and have had compassion on thee. Go home to a land that don't know me, that wanted me gone, and had no idea who I am. But you go tell them what the Lord did for you. You see, folks, Jesus does the same with us today. Just like we're a picture, this man's a picture of our life, he's also a picture of our testimony and service to him. Because Jesus sends us into a world that wants no part of Jesus Christ. And yet the reason is he has a people in every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every tribe. He has a people in that world. We're not going to change the world. I hear people say, oh, Christianity can change everything in the world. No, it can't. Never was intended to. God didn't mean for it to happen that way. Why? Because the world is going to be judged and destroyed. That's been promised. God's not coming up short. God's doing exactly what he said. But what he did say was, you go into that community that even wanted me to go away, and you tell them what God did in your life. And you tell them about the compassion that God had on you. You see, folks, the promise is, if you go where I tell you to go, my word will not return unto me void. It will accomplish that to which I send it. God tells us to go into the world around us. Go talk about what God did for me. I can talk about what God did on the cross of Calvary. I can talk about what God did through Jesus Christ as he came out of the grave. But you know where the real crux of that message comes? When I go into a community among my friends, among my family, and among those who know me, is what he did in me. What change did he make in me? You see, those folks knew what he had been. They knew what he had done. And yet they see him 180 degrees different. Isn't that the story of the grace of God in Jesus Christ in our life? God turned us around. He didn't just change us a little bit. He turned us around 180 degrees. He took us from where we were to where he wanted us to be. That's the message that we carry into the world around us. You see, this is not just some fanciful fairy tale like the three little pigs, where one little pig somehow managed to outdo the big bad wolf. This is a story of your life and my life. That what we could not do, in his almighty power, Jesus did for us. And what Jesus has done for us, he said, go tell your friends. That's where we're sent tonight. We will go into this world with the message of the compassion of God through the grace in Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us to be that man who went into that city knowing he was the minority. We would go in our community and simply spread the message. You let God handle the roles. Go tell. May the Lord bless is my prayer.